greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. I too give a welcome to each one who has gathered out here this morning in worship to our God. Welcome to our worship hour. This morning, as I share with you, I'd like to share in regards to Thanksgiving. The title this morning is Thanksgiving, A Way of Life. I think already a lot of our blessings were enumerated this morning already. They were mentioned, were shared, and we like to look at that a little more this morning as we go through this message. Thanksgiving, a way of life. I'd like to just give a little bit of an origin of Thanksgiving Day. Obviously, there's different people that feel different about this, but some believe that the first Thanksgiving Day is believed to have taken place in 1621. Prior to that summer, the pilgrims had sailed over the ocean. It took them about 66 days. And sounds, I think, they, if I remember right, they faced quite a bit of hardships, storms, and et cetera, such like. But they finally landed in Massachusetts, and they began making shelter for winter, or I think after a time of prayer, at least. And they started making shelter for winter, and they had a very hard winter. I think about 46 of the 102 died, or something like that. It's quite a few people that lost their life, and only about 46 survived. Well, spring came and summer came, and a kind Indian showed the pilgrims how to garden, how to raise crops. And if I understand right, they almost lost their crops due to drought, but I think they had a time of prayer one day, and by the end of the day it rained and the crops were saved. And then towards the end of the year, or towards fall, they set aside a three-day celebration to thank God for his favor. Now, some others believe that the Thanksgiving Day was more in celebration over the victory over the Indians who were massacred. I'm not sure. I don't know what all is accurate and what is not. But it does appear that they gathered for a day of Thanksgiving, whatever the ulterior motives were or whatever the reasons were. It was in Thanksgiving for to God for the favor that he showed to them. Now, I, of course, am not in favor of killing people. That is not what I want to present this morning. But I would like to go farther than just simply a Thanksgiving Day. And I'd like to submit this morning that Christian people have a higher calling than setting aside a special Thanksgiving Day for a special purpose. And that's it. Our calling is higher than that when it comes to Thanksgiving. And many people today set aside holidays, and they have family and friends and food and fellowship and all this sorts over, and I'm not opposed to all that. But again, what does God want for Christians? And that's what I like to consider. What does God want as we think of Thanksgiving? What are his standards for life? I would like to just ask you a question this morning for a mind stimulator. I would like to ask you a question in regards to Thanksgiving. How would I rate my level of Thanksgiving on a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being terrible and 10 being excellent? I want you to think about that. Think back over the last days and weeks and months. How are you doing on that score? You know, I find in my own life that I automatically think outside of the thankful box. Maybe you are different than me, but that's me. I think of all the negative things, and because of the surroundings and all, then I'll lose my thankfulness. But this morning, as we look at the Word of God, God is a standard for us, and he has a calling for our life. And we want to look at some of that. And so my goal for the message is to see that Thanksgiving is a lifestyle, not only a formal or yearly tradition. It's an everyday experience. I like to define Thanksgiving from the dictionary. They gave three definitions. One is simply a prayer of thanks, a prayer that offers thanks to God. Secondly, giving of thanks, an expression or act of giving thanks. And thirdly, a public acknowledgement of divine goodness, a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. But again, that's the dictionary definition. And this morning I'd like to present something more than just a verbal thing where we thank God and we go on with our life and we forget it. It's not the point. Thanksgiving, a way of life. I'd like to read some passages this morning. And after I read some passages and verses, I'd like to make some observations from them. So you can turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 100. I'd like to read this passage. And I want you to notice the thanksgiving and the praise that goes to our God. Thanksgiving, a way of life. Psalm 100 and verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. I won't make any comment at this point. I would like to turn over to Psalms 136, and I'd like to read a few verses from that passage. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3, and then 26. Beginning at verse 1, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 26. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. I'd like now to turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to read a verse from that chapter. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turning back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. I'd like to read verses 4 through 6. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Turning back further to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'd like to read verse 18. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And lastly, I'd like to read a verse from Hebrews chapter 13. I'd like to read verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. I'd like to just make some observations from these passages that we read. I have seven of them. Number one, first of all, we notice a directive from God. Serve the Lord. Come before the Lord with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. Give thanks unto the Lord. Offer the sacrifice of praise. The directives from the Word of God to give thanks, and you can do that through verbal expression, through singing. We praise God that way. It's a directive from God. Secondly, I like to say that it's a choice. You know, we're not forced to this, are we? No. There's plenty of complaining people out there. They're not forced to give thanks. They just keep complaining. But thanksgiving is a choice. And sometimes it's difficult. And sometimes the circumstances that surround us make that hard. But it's not forced. It's a choice. It's a directive, but it's a choice. Number three. Either it's thanksgiving or unthankfulness. And what I mean by that is, you know, either we're going to be a thankful people or else we're going to be complaining, so to speak. If we don't have a thankful attitude, what's going to be coming out of our life is going to be ungratefulness. So it's a challenge for us to maintain that thankful attitude. Fourthly, I believe it's an attitude of the heart. You know, there's a lot of things that we can say and there's a lot of things that many words we can speak. But finally, our heart is going to reveal who we really are in the hard times of life. And so, it's an attitude of the heart. But fifthly, it's also an expression in words. And we notice those from the directives. We sing, we praise God, we bless Him. And so, the attitude of the heart manifests itself in expression, the fruit of the lips. Sixthly, thanksgiving is not based on circumstances. Were you listening to some of these words, these verses we were reading? Always for all things, giving thanks, always for all things. In everything give thanks. Praise God continually. See, it's a continuation for everything, for always, for all things. It's not based on circumstances. And seventhly, there's no exceptions. And that's basically the same. I kind of covered that in six, but it's always and it's continually. You know, there's not a time that we can say, well, you know what, life is just so bad and so tough. And because of that, God just doesn't need my praise. God just doesn't need my worship because life is just too tough. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? At least I do. I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like praising the Lord, but we don't have an exception. Thankfulness is an attitude of the heart. It's an expression of the lips, and it will come out in our life. Well, I'd like to look at seven things this morning, seven basic things. They're very simple. They're very basic. And I'd like to just consider these things to help us be thankful for these simple things in life. And I also like them to be gauges for our life to measure our thankfulness in. The first one I have is thankfulness for God. And if you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Now I want to read you some statistics. I found a website that estimated that about 42% of Americans believe that God created the world. That's less than half. One website also stated that the percentage of Americans who adheres to strict secularist viewpoint that humans evolved over time with God having no part of the process has doubled since 1999. So we see that there's a progression of people. It's growing that people believe that God did not create the world. I found another website that stated that only 15% of Americans were absolutely very certain that humans came into existence within the last 10 years. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Do you really think that that kind of belief system would stir anyone to thankfulness? I don't believe so. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father, 1 Timothy 6:17 says, trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. This morning, if the foundation of God isn't there, if God didn't create this world, then who do we have to thank? No one. And so I asked a question this morning, do we believe that God created the heaven and the earth and is the supreme ruler over mankind in the whole world? And he orchestrates every situation in life for the Christian's good? Brothers and sisters, if we don't have that foundation when we hit the bad times in life, when things go wrong, we're not going to have an attitude of thankfulness. But we need to have it right. We need to have it right from the beginning. When God created the heaven and the earth, he made it good, and he made it very good. He's the ruler. He's the sustainer of life. And so when circumstances come in life, he's in control of it all. Psalms 11 and verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So this morning I simply want to say belief in God gives us a foundation as of thankfulness as a way of life. Thankful for God. This morning, are you thankful for God? Do you really believe in God? Do you trust him? Do you serve him? Do you thank him? We have the foundation if we only believe it. Secondly, thankfulness for the word of God. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I want to read you another statistic. A website stated that only 21% of Americans believe that the Bible is the actual word of God and is to be taken literally word for word. What do you think that would do to your belief system and thanksgiving to God? You know, this morning the Bible teaches us to be thankful. It teaches us to be kind. It teaches us to be sharing. It teaches us to be loving. If the word of God is not to be taken literally, then it would not be the inspired word of God, and it would only be a storybook written for entertainment or educational reading, or I'm not sure what. If the word of God is not quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, then it would have little effect on our lives and we would live without reproof or instruction and continue to live a selfish life without a mentality of thankfulness. But this morning, because the word of God is true and because it's quick and because it's powerful and because it's sharp and because it's the inspired word of God and it's profitable and it's the actual word of God to be taken literally, we have a foundation to believe in thankfulness. And the word of God allows us to change our life from selfish beings into thankful creatures. Thankful people who live for the glory of God and not for ourselves. Are you thankful for the word of God this morning? Foundation for thankfulness. I believe this morning belief in God's word gives us a foundation for thankfulness as a way of life. Thirdly, thankfulness for salvation. Psalms 20 and verse 5 says, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord will fulfill all thy petitions. Psalm 70 and verse 4 reads like this, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This morning I want to ask some questions. Are we rejoicing in salvation? Have we set up banners? Do we continually say, let God be magnified? Do we grasp the reality of salvation as being the only way to God? Or do we think maybe there's just some other way that we can get by and get into heaven? Maybe there's some other way that we can come into a relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, there's none other. Salvation isn't just merely a prayer. Yes, we find salvation through a prayer, but it should change our life. This morning, we live in a society where many accept salvation as a free gift. In essence, they pray the sinner's prayer and they get down on their knees and they confess their sins and they ask God to come into their heart. And they thank God for saving them and then they go on their merry way and they live their life as they want. Again, salvation is found through prayer, but it ought to change your life. And I believe a change of life is the greatest indication of our thankfulness to God. See, it's a way of life. It's not just a once and done thing where you get on your knees and pray. Yes, we do believe in praying. We do believe in worshiping. We believe in singing. That's good and right. But it's more than that. It's a way of life. It's a change of life. And it promotes thankfulness in our hearts and lives. If salvation is only a relic that is good for us, in other words, it just takes us out of hell and puts us into heaven, it just benefits us, that's not really what salvation is all about. Yes, we want to go to heaven. We understand that. But salvation should be looked in the sense of our need of God, and we understand God's holiness, and we come to Christ, and we kneel down at the altar, and we confess our sins, and we give our life to Christ because He is holy and just, and we're sinners. And our love for Him should put in our heart and life the desire to live for Him Salvation. Are you thankful for salvation this morning? Are you thankful for that? Has it changed your life? Is thankfulness a way of life? Fourthly, this morning, thankfulness for religious freedom. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, we have it pretty good in America. We're not faced with a lot of things. I'd like to read you this statistic. The Center for Study of Global Christianity, an academic research center that monitors worldwide demographic trends on Christianity, estimates that between years of 2005 and 2015, 900,000 Christians were martyred, and that's an average of 90,000 Christians each year. We don't face that much here, do we? At least we don't hear much about it. And I suppose this was in other countries, but that's a staggering number. This morning we have religious freedom. We have something to be thankful for. But the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. I'd like to ask a question this morning. Are you thanking God for your religious freedom? Are you praying for kings and all those in authority that we may live a quiet and peaceable life? And is your lifestyle respecting authority? Are you respecting, are we respecting the leaders of the land? Do our actions portray a life consistent with peace and godliness and honesty? Are we praying for the Christians that are suffering? Are we suffering with them? I believe a thankful attitude will be mindful of our freedom. And we'll pray for those who are deprived of this privilege. But I even believe that greater than that, we're going to live our life consistent with our religious freedom. If religious freedom means something to us, if we're really thankful for it, it's going to show in our life how we respect our leaders and how we respect the opportunities that God gives us and puts in our way to share the gospel with others. It's a challenge. And I believe the more we identify with Christians who are suffering, the greater our level of thankfulness. And so I just want to encourage you to keep praying for those who are suffering and take the opportunities that you have to share Christ with others. Thankfulness for religious freedom. Fifthly, thankfulness for family and friends. Proverbs 27 and verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. John 15 and verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I'd like to read you another statement from a website regarding friends. A website stated, loneliness is on the rise, with more than 1 in 8 people saying they have no friends. That's a sad place to be. This morning, I'm glad for friends. Friends are an integral part of our life. Friends are there to encourage us. Friends are there to help put valuable input in our life. But you know, I find it interesting with the rise of social connections and technology that can connect people, so to speak. Somehow it seems with all this availability that real friendships are diminishing. And I think part of the problem is that people want friendship without commitment. You know, a true friendship has a commitment. I asked you a question this morning. I asked us a question. How thankful are we for friends? How willing are you to accept criticism from your friends? Input, a rebuke, or whatever it may be. Would you be willing to lay down your life for your friend? Are you willing to sharpen the countenance of your friend? How much time are you willing to give towards your friends? It's all questions that we grasp or struggle with, because we all like our time. But I believe our level of our thankfulness to our friends is determined by our commitment to friendship. No, I believe if we're thankful for our friends and our family, we're going to show it. We're going to tell them we appreciate them. We're going to accept their criticisms and their input in our life. We'll reach out to them in the ways that we can. Our commitment to our friends will be a gauge to our thankfulness towards them. Thanksgiving, it's a way of life. It's not just a once and done thing. It's not just a Thanksgiving day. It's a way of life. Sixthly, thankfulness for health and strength. Proverbs 18 and verse 32 says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Psalms 28 and verse 7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. I'd like to read you another statement from a website regarding health. A website stated that 95% of people worldwide have some illness or injury, according to a study in 2013 in Lancet. Now, this morning, we're a blessed people. And if we have health, we are doubly blessed people. Health isn't a right, but if God has given it to us, then we are an extremely blessed people. And sometimes, I know for myself, I like to complain about my work, and I wish I'd have more vacation. And well, that's not all wrong, I guess, to have vacation. But the bottom line is that we're living in a time of ease, and we have life good, and we have privileges that we can enjoy. You know, there's some people who can't walk because they have no legs. There's some people who can't see because they're blind. There's some people that can't hear or talk because they're deaf and dumb. Some people can't provide for their families because of disability. I know it's a blessing that we take for granted, and we find ourselves complaining about things, and we forget that God gives us the strength, and He could choose to take that away at any moment. This morning, it's not all about us. We need to use our abilities and our health for the glory and honor of man. For the glory and honor of God. And if we simply use our abilities to build our kingdom up, that's a very, very selfish attitude. But if we're there to help others, and I think it's especially important that we remember people that have limitations. You know, if we're healthy, I think we need to keep our eyes open for people that have limitations and find ways to reach out to them, because I feel like that would be a way of showing true gratefulness for what God has given to us for our health. True thankfulness will rejoice in health and reach out to others to bless them. Thankful for health. Seventhly, thankful for food, clothes, water, and etc. Very simple things. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalms 104 and verse 14, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. I'd like to read another statement from a website. The United Nations reported earlier this year, I guess it was this year, the world is facing the worst humanitarian crisis in which the UN has intervened since the UN was founded in 1945. I'm not sure on that year, but it shows the crisis. You know, sometimes we think, again, we have so much, but there's people that are suffering because they don't have enough. In America, we have so much, and we load our plates with food, and we say a little prayer. We thank God for the food, and we go on with our life. And that's good. I think we need to be thankful for our food. I think we need to teach our children and be thankful. And when meal times come, I think it's appropriate to pray, thank God for the food that He has given to us and His blessings to us. But let's not let it stop there. Let's keep remembering what God has done for us. You know, every summer we go out to the fields and we bring in the crops from our gardens or our fields. And we prepare for winter. In the winter we go down in our cellars or our storehouses or our cold cellars, whatever you want to call them, and we dig out the food. We have so much. But you know what? God is the one that provides the rain, the sunshine. He's the one that makes the crops grow. He provides that all for us. But you know what? That story of plenty is not the same for everybody. Some people in the recent past have had famines, flooding, whatever you name it. And some of those blessings have been taken away. And I believe true thanksgiving will use the natural resources as a gift in a proper way, and we'll share it with others. And I think we need to be mindful of those that aren't as blessed as we are, and as we have opportunity to share. But I think there's another side of it, and I didn't look it up, but I suspect in America there is abundance of food wasted. And I don't have the statistics for that. But you know what? I don't think that shows thanksgiving either. Thanksgiving, a way of life. Let's continue to remember to be thankful in our life. There's so many blessings that God gives us. And I think every day of our life, every action of our life, if we can see God in the picture and realize that He has given us these things as blessings, it's not something that we did to gain Him, but something as a gift that He's given to us, I think it will help us to understand to be thankful. So as we go through this week, let's not only celebrate Thanksgiving, but let's be thankful people. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.